Describes faith as the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen now. An example of this is monthly salary earners. They earn monthly, but after a good month, they're getting stressed when they're under pressure from the work, when they're facing minor conflicts. They don't give up halfway. They don't just quit on the job. Why? Because they have the assurance that they will be paid their salary by the end of the month, and that's not up for debate. So how does this link to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1? So the salary after through the month when they're going through all these hardships, it's not visible physically, maybe mentally it is, but physically it's not there. But yet they have the assurance and the confidence that they will get it, and the reward, which is the salary, is greater than the hardships they're facing. So this means sometimes in situations we don't see changes. We're not seeing any improvement, but that doesn't mean God is not working behind the scene to give you an expected end. He's always working, and he's always doing something to make sure you get the expected end. Now, what is the expected end? Oh, sorry, there should be a slide in Jeremiah, the verse we just read, Jeremiah 29:11. It says, "For the love of God is always working to give you an expected end. He's making good plans for you, not bad plans. He's always working to give you a hope and a future." So this means that he's always working to give us an expected end. And this gives us the reassurance to keep our faith in God strong beyond our struggles, because he will never disappoint us. Moreover, God would never put us in situations where we didn't know we will overcome. He knows we will overcome that situation, and that's why we are being tested. So our faith in God should remain solid and strong every single time. Now, of course, trusting God can be really hard, especially when we're going through hardship. So a good example of this in the Bible is Job. Now, Job was a faithful servant of God, but in the span of a very short time, he lost his children, he lost his animals, he lost his family, he lost his servants. But you know what? In verse 21, it says, "The Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised." In verse 22, it says, "In all this, Job did not sin by charging God with wrongdoing." Now, I can't imagine losing all my family members, all my friends, the 20 pounds in my bank account, and I would not go crazy. But Job did not curse God with wrongdoing. I mean, even his own wife encouraged him to curse God, but he did not, and he stood strong, and that was the reward. And Job got back double of everything he lost. Double of friends, double of family, double of servants, double peace. So this shows that when we trust God in times, especially in times of hardship, we will get the expected end. And the expected end will even be bigger than what we think it is. And having faith in God will give you a direction that you are not on the wrong path. You are on the right path, and you just need to have faith in me, because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And one story that I've got is like about 4 weeks ago. I had a coursework that was due on a Monday, and I had to finish it. If not, my teacher wouldn't be able to add in any necessary corrections, and I would send it over to the examiners with some few mistakes in it. Now, I was getting worried about it, because of course I didn't want to fail and get a grade F or something. But I trusted God, and I just said a little prayer in my heart. I said, "God, I know you will not disappoint me." And the next morning, on my way to the bus stop, my friend called me, and she was like, "Oh, did you hear what happened?" I said, "What happened?" She said, "Oh, sixth formers are not coming to school today." I said, "Why?" "Because there was a minor flooding in the sixth form area." Now, it's not good that sixth form got flooded, or at least for me it was. But that shows that having faith in God goes a really long way, because he can change a whole system to favor you, and he will do it in a way that you wouldn't even expect him to do it. So how do we keep our faith in God? How do we maintain faith in God during hard times? One thing is prayer. Now, prayer is a way of pouring our heart to God on a personal level. Nobody else has to know what you're saying. Nobody else has to know what you're praying to God about. You bring it to Him. You take it to Him. Why? Because He is able to carry on. That's not our burden to bear. That's His to bear. And He won't disappoint you. And praying also brings clarity to our situations. You don't pray one thing and stop. You keep praying continuously, and it will intervene in your situations, and it will give you the direction for you to go. And sometimes you don't feel like praying. You don't have to open your mouth. Just open your heart to God and let Him see everything, and let Him take control of everything in your heart. Now, the second thing is reading the Bible. Reading the Bible says in Genesis, it says, the word for the Lord is with God, and the word is God. So that means when we read the Bible, we are not just reading words, we are reading God's word. We are reading God himself. And that helps us understand who he is and how he works better than we think. And that will keep your faith grounded, because you will understand that God will never disappoint you. Now, when you read the Bible, there are biblical characters like Abraham who teach us to never rely on our own understanding, but acknowledge God in everything you do, not in one thing you do, in everything you do, and it will direct your path. Now, specifically on Abraham, Abraham was coined the term the father of faith, not because he said, I have faith in God, but that became his lifestyle. In Genesis chapter 22, and he said, God told Abraham, take your son Isaac, your only son, whom you had at the age of 100. Take him and go sacrifice him. Whoa. Okay, God, calm down. And I'm guessing Abraham didn't tell Sarah, because Sarah would be like, Abraham, have you lost the plot? What are you doing? Go back to sleep right now. I don't think you have it right. But Abraham got up the next morning immediately. He didn't say, oh, Abraham asked God why, or Abraham hesitated. He said the next morning, he took Isaac up to the mountain and obeyed God immediately, no question. Now, he is the perfect example of walk by faith and not by sight. Not what you see, but what you don't see, but what you know God will do for you. And he also, again, emphasis on relying on not on his own understanding. He didn't know why God was telling him to do it, but he did it because why? God can't be questioned and God knows what he's doing. And not surprisingly, animal for Abraham to sacrifice, and have to sacrifice Isaac. So sometimes when we're going through situations, it's not because we won't overcome and we're like, oh, I love God, why am I going through this? Especially when you love God, you will be tested. God wants to see that you're not just saying I have faith. That is your lifestyle. So we should always walk by faith, not by sight. And I just want to encourage us to walk by faith and not by sight. And I also want to urge everybody to trust God the most in times when it doesn't make sense to do so. Sometimes you're like, there's no way I'm still trusting God right now. But that is when your faith in God needs to be 100%. Our faith level, always and every time, should be at 100%. So can we close our eyes and bow our heads? And I want everybody to think about one thing you're struggling to trust God on. Maybe your academics, your job, finances, family, conflicts, one thing you're struggling, your health. And I just want us to bring it before God and just give it over to God, hand it over to God. It's not your burden to bear, it is to bear. I just want everyone to just bring it to God. Let go of the steering wheel, let God take control. Lord, I pray for everybody in here. I don't know what situation it is, but you know, God. I just want you to plant in our hearts to remind you that your love is more than enough and that you will give us the strength we need. I hope you give us the obedience to always follow your words and the patience and strength to keep trusting in every situation. Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I mean, amazing. We're now going to hear from Ruben's going to our next preach. No, I'm joking. Esther. Naria. Let's hear it for Naria.
Good morning, church. My name is Naria, as Luke has already mentioned. Today I would like to share with you about one of my favorite verses. It's Romans chapter 3, verse 22. I'll start reading from verse 21 so we can understand the context of the verse. But when I get to verse 22, I would like us all to read together. But now apart from the law of righteousness, God has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. And I would like us to read verse 22 together. This righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference between Jew and Gentile. So my main viewpoint for today and what I want to be circling back to today is that mining your righteousness is not based on our works, but rather on our faith in Jesus. This may sound a familiar start to a testimony to you, but I grew up in a Christian home, and our Sunday routine would be to go to church. Throughout the week, my mom would read me and my brother Bible stories, such as Noah's Ark, and Adam and Eve, and David and Goliath. And I knew ultimately what I should and shouldn't do as a Christian. I knew that I shouldn't lie, and I knew that I shouldn't steal, and I knew that I should be kind to everyone always. So my mom built for me the perfect foundation, but starting a relationship with Christ was something I had to learn myself. To do this, what I had to learn repeatedly was that my deeds and work weren't what made me right with God, but rather my faith in Jesus and the help of the Holy Spirit. I struggled and still sometimes do with understanding that the wrongs that I did or that I do don't suddenly exclude me from God's love or make God see me any less perfect in His eyes. And this isn't because of our own works, but because we are righteous through faith in Jesus and the work of the Holy Spirit in us. This doesn't mean that our deeds don't have any value to God. It doesn't mean that we should go on doing wrong, but those deeds should be a result of our faith in Jesus, because our human attempts at being righteous or being right with God are imperfect. And so without faith in Christ, Isaiah 64 verse 6 tells us that our righteous acts are like filthy rags. And this gift of being righteous and saved through faith in Jesus is open to all, to you and me. You should never think that you can't be righteous or that you're not righteous enough to be with God. God gives us this gift to everyone. It's for you and me, no matter your sins. And as much as our faith in Jesus helps us to do what is good in the Lord's sight, it also helps us to avoid and stop sin. Romans chapter 6 verse 1 and 2 tells us, what shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We are those who have died to sin. How can we continue to live in it any longer? We are no longer under the burden of sin, and we are no longer slaves to sin, because our faith in Jesus allows the Holy Spirit to fill us and to help us to please God rather than our flesh. This is good news. Amen. So to conclude, I'd like to tell you a little story about when I was in year 11. So when I was in year 11, we had to learn 15 poems that we later write an exam about. And when planning on how to deliver this part of the message, it reminded me of one specific poem. It was called Bayonet Charge, and it was about a soldier's first battle. The poet exposes the reality of war, and in a certain stanza, in a certain paragraph of the poem, it says, quote, king honor, human dignity, etc., drop like luxuries, end quote. So in English, of course, we had to analyze the word etc. and how it meant that everything that the soldier was fighting for didn't have any value anymore. And I like to link it to this part of the message, because in the same way that nothing had any value and all that mattered was his survival, when we put our faith in Jesus, all that matters is our faith in Jesus, and the sins that we used to do and our old life have no power over us anymore. We don't have to carry the heavy load of sin. It's being lifted off our shoulder by the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. So my question for you today is, do you want to place your faith in Jesus, who saves us from the burden and heavy load of sin, who saves us from death and gives us eternal life with God in heaven? Because Jesus tells us in chapter 11, verse 28, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. So, as I end, I would like us all to say this prayer to end. Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God, that you died on the cross for me, for my sins and death, to restore me to the Father. Amen.
Amazing. Amazing. Hallelujah. Let's have another round of applause for Adriel.
Good morning, church. My name's Adriel, and I'll be preaching on Philippians 4:13, and we'll understand this together. So, I'd like to start with a little story. When me and my sister first came to the UK in 2017, we struggled with English quite a lot because we couldn't speak the language and we couldn't understand what we were hearing, or we couldn't speak it. So in school we struggled a lot and we were behind, so we were always praying to Jesus to help us overcome this, because it's really difficult learning a new language. So as we started praying to God about this, we started being able to understand English better. We were able to speak it, and we were able to get rid of our German accents, and we're still grateful to God until this day. So the verse that really has an impact on this story is Philippians 4:13, which says, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Or I can do all things through him who gives me strength. And this verse can have many interpretations, and some people might misunderstand this. So with the person sat next to you, ask them what this verse means, and then I'll ask two people to tell me what they think. So for 2 minutes, ask someone next to you what they think this verse means. End your conversations. Alright, I'm gonna come down and ask two people. So, does anyone wanna answer this, what this verse might mean? Anyone feels free to share with the church. Okay.
And that we're not limited to anything.
Okay, good answer. Does anyone else want to answer the question? One more person? Okay.
Here's the next shot. So says, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. What it simply means is, in everything you want to achieve in life, your goal, your vision, as long as you set your heart to do it, with the help of the Holy Spirit, it will come to pass. So it simply means, do not rely on your strength. Call on God. If you want to become a surgeon, a doctor, anything you want to do, lay it to God. He will direct you and he will accomplish it. Amen.
Amen. Okay, so this verse is really powerful, and many people might misunderstand this, including myself, because before I used to think that, like, if I want to get like £10 million or something, I could just be like, God, please give me strength, and then I'll get it. Or I'd be like, I want to get this. I want to get these new shoes. Jesus, please give me strength. But when you read a few verses before that, that's not what it's actually saying. Because Paul was talking about his struggles and his trials. And I read a few verses before. From verse 11, it says, I'm not saying this because I am in need, for I've learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. So Paul was talking about how when he was imprisoned, when he was beaten, when he was mocked, when he was persecuted, He was able to continue living for Christ because Jesus gave him strength. Without Jesus, he wouldn't be able to do it. So that's why he was saying, I can do all things through him, which gives me strength. So in our lives, this could apply to us in this way, where if we are going through persecution like Paul, or we are sick, or we are hungry, or we need something, we can go through it with Jesus Christ, because he'll give us strength. Because without Jesus, we can never do it. We always need Jesus and the help of the Holy Spirit to overcome our trials and obstacles in life. So in your life, there might be something you're struggling with. You might be sick with something. You have maybe a problem with a certain sin. But through Jesus, you can overcome it. Like Esther said, through prayer and reading our Bible, we can help ourselves. So when we pray to God, we're like inviting Jesus to our lives. We're opening our hearts to him. And he will definitely come in and help us. He'll give us strength to overcome whichever problems we need help with. And he'll be with us. And through the word of God, like I'm reading right now, Philippians 4:13, we're encouraging ourselves to know that we have a hope in Jesus, that he'll always be there and ready to help us. So yeah, as I conclude, I'll just say a short prayer. Lord Jesus, we thank you for today. Thank you that you've given us wisdom and confidence to preach your word to the church, Lord. We pray that if any of us are struggling with something, whether it's a sin, sickness, financial issues, Lord, you'll help us to overcome these by you giving us strength, Lord Jesus. Please be with us and continue to strengthen us throughout all of our lives. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Hallelujah. So good. We are so blessed, aren't we, church? So blessed by our young people. Should we get them preaching more often? Should we do that? They're better than me, aren't they? Right, let's have our band. We're going to come back. We're going to sing our final song. Would you like to stand to your feet if you're able? And just before we sing, I just want to invite you to steady yourself, just to really focus your mind on God. It's amazing hearing our young people, and we are so grateful for the way they've shared. But more than that, it's the words they brought us today from your book, Jesus. Words of encouragement and confidence that wherever we're facing, that you are with us, that you give us strength, that we can have faith in you and we can trust in you, for your reward is certain. So as they've encouraged us to already, let's just give any burdens we have back to Jesus. Holy Spirit, come. Just pray, Lord, you fill us with your peace, with your hope, with your joy, with your love in this place. And as they, Lord, have been asking us to think of things that are difficult, if you are carrying something really hard, we'd love to pray with you. As during the song or after the service, you come to the front, myself, Tim, Faustina, there's some of us who would love to stand alongside you and say that he is faithful and pray with you through that trial that you're facing. Amen. And let us praise him and remind ourselves of his faithfulness.